Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is April 2, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Digital Custodian Anchorage adds XRP storage for institutional customers. FATF says US largely compliant with virtual currency recommendations. Cointracker adds 6 industry partnerships for its crypto tax reporting tool. Factum faces liquidation after investors refuse request for more funding. Bitcoin enters historically strong quarter with 3% price gain. SEC seeks more feedback on TZERO's proposed security token exchange. Looking for a halving payday? Quick wins in investing are rare. They have the users, Binance CEO explains why he bought CoinMarketCap. Now let's get started. Digital Custodian Anchorage adds XRP storage for institutional customers. Digital custody provider Anchorage has added custodial support for XRP, the company announced in a Thursday blog post. XRP, is the third largest cryptocurrency by market capitalization, and is best known as the crypto used by Ripple for cross-border payments. Prior to Thursday, XRP was the only top three cryptocurrency not supported by Anchorage, which specifically caters to institutional investors. Anchorage began supporting XRP on its website formally on Wednesday, its website showed. As the third largest digital asset by market cap, XRP appeals to a number of our institutional clients, which include VC funds, family offices, hedge funds, and other large-scale crypto investors, Diogo Monica, president of Anchorage said. See also, amended lawsuit against Ripple now offers theory that XRP may not be a security. In a press release, Anchorage said that an ecosystem of institutions are already holding XRP. XRP joins 18 other digital assets already supported by Anchorage. Monica said that Anchorage is willing to add custodial service for any digital asset that meets the bar. Anchorage has always aimed to support every asset that meets our standards of quality and security, and XRP does both. Particularly during these uncertain times, we're proud to be growing our list of supported assets and improving operational efficiency for our institutional clients, he said. FATF says US largely compliant with virtual currency recommendations. The Financial Action Task Force, FATF, has rated the U.S. largely compliant with its revised criteria for preventing money laundering and terrorist financing, AML, CTF, through digital assets. The Intergovernmental Standards Group published its assessment of the U.S.'s compliance with its banking rules, evaluating laws and regulations around digital assets and other areas on Tuesday. That's not to say the U.S. is completely in line with the current new technology standards, known by FATF as Recommendation 15, though. The most powerful member of FATF's Global Financial Crimes Network retains minor deficiencies. For example, U.S.-registered money services businesses need only keep detailed records for transactions of $3,000 or more. That's 3 times higher than FATF's required due diligence trigger, and could, in the watchdog's view, let bad actors slip through. This higher threshold is not clearly supported by low MLTF risks, FATF wrote. U.S. regulators also lag in their investigation of convertible virtual currency (CVC) businesses, according to FATF. Their strategy does not specifically identify higher-risk virtual asset service providers, VASP, making their various examinations of high-volume exchanges and peer-to-peer networks insufficient. Therefore, it is not entirely clear whether the current approach is sufficiently risk-focused, especially since only 30% of all registered CVC providers have been inspected since 2014, FATF wrote. Legislative gaps could also allow extremely niche VASP activity to evade detection and enforcement. A U.S.-registered VASP that only did businesses with non-U.S. persons would not, apparently, be subject to current law. FATF nevertheless praised U.S. regulators' recent efforts in the virtual asset space, especially the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network's May 2019 guidance paper for CVC activity. FATF found the U.S. remains largely compliant with Recommendation 15. Cointracker adds 6 industry partnerships for its crypto tax reporting tool. Cointracker has partnered with a number of prominent blockchain industry firms, opening its cryptocurrency portfolio tracking and tax reporting product to more users. The Y Combinator-backed firm built by former Google employees was added by crypto derivatives platform ArisX as service partner on Wednesday. That came alongside 5 other business relationships added in recent weeks, including Bitcoin security firm Casa, crypto finance protocol Compound, trading platform Crypto.com, decentralized Ethereum exchange IEDX, and Bitcoin rewards platform Lolli. With reporting taxes on cryptocurrency transactions notoriously complex even for experts, the firm aims to simplify that process within its tax calculator tool that automatically outputs reports for users. Cointracker also has an existing integration with TurboTax, the tax filing software offered by Intuit Consumer Tax Group, both of which partnered with prominent crypto exchange Coinbase in 2019. Talking of the new partnerships, Chandan Lodha, co-founder at Cointracker, told CoinDesk the breadth of integrations means we can serve more crypto users and more types of crypto users, from hobbyists dipping their toes into crypto via Bitcoin rewards like Lolli all the way to advanced traders. Also read, crypto holders still face issues reporting tax liabilities, survey of CPAs fines. With over $600 million in capital losses claimed on behalf of their users, the new partnerships were providing solutions for many different types of clients, he added. The company also says it recently passed what it considers to be the major milestone of more than 100,000 active users, with more than 175,000 connected wallets and exchanges, as well as $20 billion in transaction volume tracked so far. Ultimately, Cointracker says, by helping people report their taxes with simple tools, those in the mainstream who view crypto as a tool used for illicit activity will start to understand it's a legitimate means of value transfer among law-abiding citizens. As more users and regulators see that the vast majority of cryptocurrency use is by everyday people for completely legal transactions and people are crypto tax compliant, this only helps increase faith and legitimacy of the cryptocurrency industry as a whole, Lodha said. Our hope is to show people that cryptocurrency is actually regulated and you can be tax compliant pretty easily, Lodha added. See also, Australian Tax Office to warn investors over crypto misreporting. On March 21, U.S. Secretary of the Treasury Steve Mnuchin announced the usual tax return deadline of April 15 has been extended to July 15, allowing taxpayers and businesses additional time to file and make payments without interest or penalties during the economic turmoil prompted by the coronavirus outbreak. Factum faces liquidation after investors refuse request for more funding. One of the first companies to host a token sale, Factum, has notified creditors it has entered receivership after an appeal for additional funding fell on deaf ears. Factum Protocol, which raised $140,000 in Bitcoin, BTC, through the sale of Factoid tokens, said on March 31 it had begun the process of dissolution, according to a London Stock Exchange announcement from largest backer Fast Forward on Thursday. Fast Forward has been notified by the directors of Factum that in a board meeting on the 31st of March 2020 they concluded that, in the absence of further funding, they now needed to begin the process of assignment of assets for the benefit of creditors, reads the statement. Although Factum's Twitter page had fallen silent in the middle of January, alarm bells started ringing in March after the company told investors it would enter liquidation by the end of the month unless it received additional funding. Fast Forward, which had the largest stake in Factum, said it was prepared to renegotiate its $6 million simple agreement for future equity, SAFE, to try and attract outside investment. Although it was willing to participate in another investment round, Fast Forward told Factum directors that it was not prepared to lead. Previously announced talks with investors were also unsuccessful. See also, Polish crypto exchange Bitmarket suddenly shuts down. Following a board meeting on March 31, Factum finally told investors it would begin the process of liquidation. As its biggest investor, Fast Forward is now receiver and will take the lion's share of the company's assets and intellectual property. A timetable for when Factum will eventually be wound up has not been disclosed. Based in Austin, Texas, Factum started in 2014 as a trustless data provenance layer on the Bitcoin blockchain. In the ensuing years, it announced high-profile partnerships and grants with government agencies, including the Department of Homeland Security, to secure or verify data. Just last year, data security firm TFA Labs received a grant from the U.S. Energy Department to use Factum's open-sourced blockchain to secure the country's power grid. Fast Forward, which is listed on the London Stock Exchange and has invested in a diverse range of tech startups, entered into a $6 million SAFE with Factum in 2018. In its near six-year history, Factum raised more than $18 million from investors. In an announcement, Fast Forward director Ed McDermott admitted the company was not altogether certain how Factum ended in such dire financial straits. "We are extremely disappointed with this news from Factum," he said in a statement. "As we go through the receivership process and understand more of the events that led to this position, our position as investors in Factum is expressly reserved." See also, London Block Exchange placed into compulsory liquidation. CoinDesk approached both Factum and Fast Forward for additional comment, but did not hear back by press time. Bitcoin enters historically strong quarter with 3% price gain. View historical data suggests Bitcoin could put in a positive performance in the second quarter. Bitcoin is currently trapped in a pennant pattern on the daily chart. A breakout will likely yield a rally toward $8,000. A pennant breakdown would put the bears in a commanding position and open the doors to $5,000. Bitcoin, BTC, kicked off the historically strong second quarter on a positive note, scoring gains overnight despite further losses on Wall Street. The top cryptocurrency by market value rose 3.5% from $6,420 to $6,650, having closed Q1 2020 with a 10% loss, according to CoinDesk's Bitcoin Price Index. See also, looking for a halving payday? Quick wins in investing are rare. The cryptocurrency remained bid even as the U.S. equities began Q2 on a weak note with the S&P 500 falling 4%. Investors shunned risk as President Trump's stark warning on the coronavirus pandemic raised the specter of a prolonged shutdown and deeper economic recession. Bitcoin printing gains amid the risk-off action in traditional markets is a welcome change for observers who believe the cryptocurrency is a haven asset like gold. The cryptocurrency largely tracked the S&P 500 in March as fears of a coronavirus-led recession triggered a global dash for cash. Sellers had an upper hand in the second quarter of 2013 and 2018, but the losses were restricted to single digits. The 161% rally seen in the second quarter of 2019 is the third biggest quarterly gain on record. Many analysts are of the opinion that the massive money printing efforts recently announced by global governments and central banks amid the COVID-19 crisis could boost Bitcoin's appeal as an inflation hedge. And, while it's far from certain, the mining reward having the programmed in 50% reduction in rewards for Bitcoin miners due in May may put upward pressure on prices. "A Bitcoin emission cut of 50% is a fundamentally bullish even," said Connor Abensheen, crypto research analyst at Digital Assets Data. See also, Bitcoin halving, explained so Bitcoin may repeat history by ending the April to June period in the green. Gains, however, may remain elusive if stock markets see another massive price sell-off, again triggering a liquidity crisis like we saw last month. In that case, investors will likely stay away from the crypto markets. With the virus outbreak showing no signs of slowing down, the possibility of a deeper stock market crash shouldn't be ruled out. The impact of the coronavirus on economies will not be over quickly because there's been a lot of damage. A gigantic amount of debt has been added and another stock market rout looks imminent, said veteran investor Jim Rogers. From a short-term perspective, the cryptocurrency appears on track to extend the recent rally from lows under $4,000. Bitcoin has created a pennant pattern on the daily chart, which comprises trendlines connecting higher lows and lower highs. Pennants are considered continuation patterns, meaning they tend to accelerate the preceding bearish or bullish move. In this case, the pennant has appeared following a rise and could end up paving way for further gains. A high-volume UTC close above $6,750 would confirm a pennant breakout and open the doors to a retest of highs near $8,000 seen on March 12. The outlook, however, would turn bearish if the pennant is breached to the downside. In that case, more sellers may join the market, pushing prices down to $5,000. SEC seeks more feedback on TZERO's proposed security token exchange. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, is extending the timeline for it to approve or disapprove operations by a security token exchange affiliated with Overstock's TZERO. In a letter dated April 1, the SEC presumably wasn't joking when it said it was looking for analysis and input on the Box Options Exchange's proposed rule changes to commence operations of its new Boston Security Token Exchange, BSTX. BSTX, a joint venture between Box and TZERO, filed rule change proposals detailing its operations last year. Box more recently filed an amendment to one of its proposals, increasing the number of market makers and heightening its listing standards. In Wednesday's document, touching on one of these proposals, the SEC said it specifically wants feedback on whether the proposed exchange's operations are consistent with parts of the Securities Exchange Act of 1934, as well as whether the information it has provided so far are sufficient to make a ruling on approval. The commission warned that if not adequately addressed, these hurdles would be grounds for disapproval. Third parties can weigh in on the proposal either online or by emailing the SEC. Those who email should include file number SR Box 201937 in the subject line. They have 3 weeks from the document's publication in the Federal Register to submit initial thoughts, and a further 2 weeks to offer any rebuttals to others' comments. The commission asks that commenters address the sufficiency of the exchange's statements in support of the proposal, which are set forth in the Notice 72 in addition to any other comments they may wish to submit about the proposed rule change, the document said. Headwinds: a number of concerns have been raised around the BSTX proposal by third parties. On March 27, NASDAQ Senior Vice President Joan C. Conley wrote a letter to the SEC raising concerns about how the proposal placed an unreasonable burden on competition due to the underlying blockchain technology, distributed ledger. Conley stated the technology used to track ownership of the security token would not share a common distributed ledger. Instead, Box would be the sole user, retaining exclusive ownership that would place other exchanges at a competitive disadvantage. The most salient characteristic, indeed, the only unique characteristic of the security token is its use of blockchain technology, Conley wrote. To avail itself of blockchain technology, the purchaser must be a BSTX participant. Non-BSTX participants would be subject to omnibus blockchain reporting. This would, in effect, allow Box to promote trading of some securities in its own favor because other exchanges would be unable to trade these tokens, she wrote. The NASDAQ Stock Exchange also questioned what it saw as insufficient detail relating to digital securities infrastructure and its compatibility with existing equities market infrastructure, as well as the impact on anti-fraud, customer protection, and possible investor confusion. NASDAQ recommends that Box submit additional detail addressing these concerns before the proposal is approved, the exchange said. Market impact: the comments follow other concerns expressed by David Schrader of the Paikin Krieg and Adams law firm, Ellen Green with the Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association, SIFMA, and Benjamin Connault of the IEX Stock Exchange, among others. Green and Schrader both indicated the filing documents around the exchange had not been widely disseminated to the broader securities market. All three wrote that more time is needed to consider the proposed rule changes. In her letter, Green wrote that SIFMA remains concerned that approval of the collective filings could be a significant change for the equities markets. Schrader, writing on a client's behalf, went further, saying that BSTX needs to provide more clarity around how security tokens would settle, how market participants would verify ownership of a security token in compliance with Know Your Customer and anti-money laundering rules, as well as a number of other issues. Indeed, BSTX needs to clarify why a blockchain-based exchange would be superior to a traditional one, he wrote. It seems likely that the introduction and use of security tokens will create undue burden on market participants, exchanges, custodians, clearing firms, retail and institutional investors, Schrader wrote. Looking for a halving payday? Quick wins in investing are rare. Osho Jha is an investor, data scientist and tech company executive who enjoys finding and analyzing unique data sets for investing in both public and private markets. Many bullish investment theses for Bitcoin are grounded in expectations that the upcoming halving of block rewards will cause the Bitcoin, BTC, price to increase. Previous supply constrictions, from 50 BTC to 25 BTC and 25 BTC to, where we currently stand, at 12.5 BTC, have had that effect. Still, given the rare nature of these events, our data points are limited and increase the anticipation and speculation around upcoming halving sometime in May 2020. There are many great pieces on the mechanics of a BTC halving and how they were described in the original white paper and subsequently coded into the structure of Bitcoin. So I will assume familiarity with these concepts going forward as we try to understand the supply constriction narrative of the halving thesis. See also, Bitcoin halving, explained. Unfortunately, many investors are pointing to the halving as a catalyst for a price increase in the face of a difficult Bitcoin market, which has had three straight quarters of negative returns, and have set sky-high expectations for what sort of price action we may see after. I certainly believe that the halving will have a positive impact on price, but I am concerned by investors expecting parabolic gains in the fashion of 2017. As it currently stands, the bullish thesis around the halving is that as block rewards get cut in half, the number of miners able to sustain their operations will decline. Since fewer BTC are being brought into circulation, there should also be some reduced sell pressure as miners often sell BTC to fund operations in their local currency. One could then conclude that the supply constriction will allow the price to appreciate. While I generally believe this thesis to be sound, I think it hinges on the assumption that a drop in block rewards will force miners offline, and that demand for Bitcoin will not decline and this merits further analysis. Miner breakdown. Mining is a difficult game of balancing BTC inflows with fixed cost outflows of hard dollars. Their most prevalent cost is electricity. In order to cover this cost, miners sell BTC, creating a consistent sell pressure in the market. See also, as this crisis worsens, Bitcoin will become a safe haven again. Next-gen miners are more efficient on a hashes-to-electricity consumption basis, helping alleviate some of concerns around electricity cost. According to recent research piece by Blockware Solutions, a large distributor of mining rigs in North America, roughly 62% of miners are using new-gen miners, the Bitmain S17 and up, and 38% are using old-gen miners, the Bitmain S9 and below. The table below, from Blockware Solutions, shows a breakdown of the mining landscape based on their internal data, which has insight into 20% of the total hash rate on the network. I believe the recent downward price action has already caused a minor capitulation, which is reflected in the recent drop in hash rate and the compensating downward adjustment of difficulty. At current Bitcoin prices, roughly $6,200, 19% of Bitcoin miners are operating at a loss. With the halving being a doubling of break-even price, we can see that roughly an additional 38% of miners will join them. That's roughly 57% of the market in. And while that constitutes a majority of the hash power, the reality is that miners can and often do operate below break-even prices. To sustain themselves, they sell Bitcoin from their own treasury, adding to the selling pressure. See also, CoinDesk report, Bitcoin, the halving and why it matters. While the halving will certainly take miners offline, I believe this will be a gradual change as opposed to an instantaneous change. It will likely be preceded by additional selling pressure from miners operating below break-even costs, unless there is a substantial spike in price or consistent decline in difficulty allowing these miners to stay online. Price action as a gauge for demand isn't it priced in? Is the most common question I hear from both short-term traders and long-term investors. I find this question to be shallow because it is nearly impossible to answer for any asset, let alone one as nascent as Bitcoin. Despite the steady press coverage, I feel that the true impact of the halving is not priced and certainly not outside the core long-term BTC holders. Investing is a matter of patience. The halving will bring a positive impact to price, but we should be measured in our expectations. Current futures price would suggest market participants are unaware of a halving or do not expect it to have a big impact on price, with post-halving expiry contract trading in line with previous reductions in block rewards. Historically, Bitcoin has had large run-ups in the year leading into the halving, followed by parabolic gains in the year after. Mature markets require patience. While this narrative was certainly compelling in the summer of 2019 with Bitcoin peaking around $13,000, Bitcoin is currently up 20% on a year-over-year basis. This is still a phenomenal return, especially compared to the minus 13% YY return in SPY, the exchange-traded fund tracking the S&P 500. Since the returns leading into the 2020 halving are compressed compared to the parabolic returns leading into the past two halvings, the returns after the 2020 halving should be positive but more constrained. A measured response is in no way a condemnation of the halving thesis. It is the natural evolution of an asset class that is becoming understood by a broader market. Recent price action has been encouraging as the market has been able to absorb the selling pressure created by miners in the face of a large price decline due to a global flight to USD. While the price decline was substantial and primarily driven by short-term holders, the ensuing stability in the $6,000 range is positive and shows that demand for Bitcoin has remained strong. With stablecoin capitalizations at an all-time high, there is plenty of capital on the sidelines, but as markets mature, a singular, well-broadcast event rarely causes outsized impact on price after the fact, certainly not one as talked about as BTC's halving. See also, how financial models could move Bitcoin's price after the halving. Early in its life, BTC traded like a venture investment. Even in 2017, the crypto boom was fueled by a belief that distributed ledger technology would revolutionize all industries and that adoption of digital cash was close. But Bitcoin is unique in being both a technology and a representation of strong money principles, digital gold. Its strong money principles are encompassed in a self-correcting system incentivizing miners while slowing the rate at which this fixed supply asset is trickled out. I believe we will look back at Bitcoin's third halving and instead of parabolic gains see Bitcoin come into its own during a period of global macro distress. Quick gains usually turn into quick losses. Investing is a matter of patience. The halving will bring a positive impact to price, but we should be measured in our expectations. Current actions by central banks around the world have given more positive catalysts to Bitcoin than a singular event. Macro trends, such as the debasement of the US dollar by the Federal Reserve, occur slowly and we have yet to see the impact of these events in traditional markets, let alone Bitcoin. Patience and measured expectations are key in this market. After all, no asset has rewarded those two principles as handsomely as Bitcoin. They have the users, Binance CEO explains why he bought CoinMarketCap. Binance just bought the top of the funnel. The largest cryptocurrency exchange by market volume has acquired popular data site CoinMarketCap (CMC) for an undisclosed price, the companies announced Thursday. Binance CEO Changpeng CZ Zhao told CoinDesk the deal closed March 31, although a verbal agreement had been reached a few months ago. With its extensive, although often questionable, data on prices, volumes and other metrics for 5,290 cryptocurrencies, CMC has served as a dragnet for retail investors since its launch in 2013. It's a really good website and I think we can help grow it further, Zhao said in an interview with CoinDesk Thursday, adding he had no immediate plans for CMC. Zhao said the domain will remain independent from Binance under a holding company, perhaps staving off concerns over potential conflicts of interest. Industry veterans told CoinDesk they see a future where CMC could serve as a marketing channel for Binance, steering prospective customers toward the exchange. Zhao, on the other hand, characterized it as a simple, albeit large, purchase of a cash flow positive asset. It's by far the largest we have done so far, he said of the deal. The acquisition shows that while many firms looked to institutional players as crypto's messiah in 2019 and even today, Zhao is pinning his hopes on a mass audience of individual investors after buying the most heavily trafficked website in the space. Amazon's Alexa ranks CMC as the 570th most visited website globally in the last 90 days. That's compared to Binance and rival exchange Coinbase at 1,688 and 1,562, respectively. The next closest data provider is CoinGecko at 7,350. Zhao's purchase also caps CMC's journey, from a scrappy outfit run out of founder Brandon Shea's apartment to a property coveted by an industry leader. In fact, Zhao said he had pursued Shea for years. With the sale, Shea is stepping down. CMC was not for sale, CMC interim CEO Carolyn Chan said in an interview. Opportunity came along. Chan now joins Binance, U.S. CEO Catherine Coley as one of two female chief executives running firms connected to the exchange in a historically male-dominated industry. Earlier this week, The Block reported the acquisition was in the works, and put the price tag at $400 million in cash and stock options, citing unnamed sources. Founders and investors interviewed by CoinDesk gave differing opinions on the plausibility of the figure. Some said it sounded too high, others thought it was too low. While both Chan and Zhao declined to give actual figures for the acquisition, citing non-disclosure agreements, Zhao confirmed it was Binance's biggest acquisition to date. CoinMarketCap has more users than any other product in the crypto space, Zhao said. Even though their money generation mechanism is not as strong as Binance, they do have the users. It's a very valuable platform. Read more, Crypto's King Midas, backstage with CZ, the CEO who can't be stopped. Early talks. Earnest conversations between CoinMarketCap and Binance date back to the Data Providers Conference for Investors in November 2019, said Chan. Zhao hinted at the coming acquisition, along with one other unannounced purchase, in a New Year's Day blog post. Binance bought 9 separate entities last year alone and plans to onboard 180 fiat currencies by the end of 2020 in an aggressive push to sign up retail customers. The company's tagline is exchanging the world. It's easy to see, then, why CoinMarketCap's status as the first landing page for retail investors would be attractive to Zhao despite his past criticisms of CMC for its data quality. If reports about the price are true, the deal stands as one of the top M&A deals in crypto history. Circle, now a shell of its former self, purchased Poloniex for $400 million in 2018 but has since spun off the exchange and pivoted to focusing on stablecoins. For CMC, the acquisition follows a ride through choppy waters. The firm quickly became both the dominant data source and go-to platform for asset pricing in the nascent industry. It also became a lightning rod for controversy after a 2019 report to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission (SEC) by digital asset manager Bitwise found artificial trade volume from 95% of the crypto exchanges that provide data to CMC. Startups such as Nomix, Messari and CoinGecko seized the Bitwise report to chip into CMC's lead, particularly among institutional investors, which require robust data and can't expose their clients to manipulation. Read more, for $15,000, hell fake your exchange volume you'll get on CoinMarketCap. Competitors react. Rival exchanges reacted with mixed emotions at news of the deal, which could firmly outdistance Binance from the pack. Lennox Lai, director of financial markets at OKEX, said it was good to see such large M&A deals in the context of a bearish market in crypto. Big players investing back into key infrastructure is healthy for crypto, Lai said, even if warranting skepticism. People might have doubts about whether or not CMC could maintain its independence afterward. It's fair. But I think we should give the team a chance, he said. Andy Chung, former chief operating officer at OKEx and founder of crypto derivative platform ACDX, was more critical in his assessment. The acquisition is not very good for the industry given the conflict of interest between the parties' missions, he said, pointing to Binance's exchange token, BNB, as an example. I can understand the business or potential profit, Chung said. But honestly, how are you going to convince people that the rankings and volume are true when you're operating an exchange and also probably the biggest holder of BNB? Chung even saw it as a blow to Zhao's cult of personality. CC has been telling everyone, we are not here for the money and building something bigger and meaningful for humanity. Now I am disappointed, I hope I am wrong and he has a better reason behind the purchase, he said. One Silicon Valley crypto investor speaking on the condition of anonymity doubted the reported $400 million buyout figure and said the overall deal feels like a favor to CMC founder Shea. The founder is very stealth and I think has the majority of the cap table. And he struggled to monetize for years, the investor said. That's not to say Binance doesn't have loose change to throw around. Two sources said Binance is flush with cash, with one pointing toward futures trading customers departing BitMEX following a critical error on March 12 as a recent boon. Big data, small markets CMC sits in an awkward spot after its acquisition. Although it is typically the first port of call for small retail buyers, institutional investors spurned the website, particularly after Bitwise's SEC report. At the same time, CMC has some of the best data in the industry because of its sheer volume. Exchanges have always used CMC, so why change now? Nomix founder and CEO Clay Collins told CoinDesk that a certain degree of trust is necessitated between an exchange and a data provider, trust that is likely to be eroded here with CMC under the same roof as Binance. If rival exchanges feel threatened by the possibility of Binance harvesting data from CMC, those firms will be much less willing to provide low latency and high granularity data, Collins said. That data is now being given to a competitor with surveillance abilities. It's unlikely that other exchanges will want to see Binance aggregating and monetizing their own data, he said. Collins' concerns were seconded by Alexei Andryunin, head of Gotbit, a Russian token and exchange promotion service. That's a polite way to describe the business, which Andryunin has candidly admitted inflated volumes on CMC for small-cap coins via wash trading bots. In Andryunin's view, the purchase will provide Binance with data on all their competitors, plus some of the best expertise for traffic generation in the crypto industry. However, leveraging or altering data would be equivalent to sending the investment to a burner address, Andryunin said. Binance is incentivized to keep this service transparent so that they don't lose their investment. I think they'll try to preserve CMC's reputation. He also said that CMC's summer 2019 capitalization was estimated at $650 million, suggesting the reported $400 million offering was a bargain. Read more, we still don't know Bitcoin's real volume. Maturation. Binance aside, CMC's Chan said data concerns continue to be a key part of the firm's focus. The firm is launching both qualitative data as well as quantitative data features in 2020, Chan said. Stronger agreements could be put in place to protect exchanges' interest as well, she acknowledged. In a sense, it's in our interest to continue to be neutral and to be transparent and independent, Chan said. Zhao acknowledged CMC's shortcomings, saying the firm needs to resolve numerous issues and make the product better over time. That responsibility falls to Chan and her team, though, he said. I am not dictating it, Zhao said. Meanwhile, the purchase frees up elbow room for other data aggregators, particularly on the institutional side of the market, said Messari co-founder and CEO Ryan Selkies. In an email to CoinDesk, and in his own newsletter and Twitter feed, Selkies described the buyout as a win for everyone, including data companies that won't receive a check. It's great news for other crypto data companies, and information businesses. Audience and influence matters. Quality data matters, he said in a company newsletter. Jan Liberman, principal at research and consulting firm Delphi Digital, said these larger acquisitions are good for the sector and show overall maturation. He added that it's best to wait and see on Binance's relationship with CMC rather than cast stones early. The initial reaction might be to look at other data providers' platforms as comparables, but because of all the nuances, differences among them, I don't think it's very useful to do that until we get a better understanding of what the plans are for CMC, Liberman said. Not much will change for CMC once the acquisition takes place, Chan said. All of the firm's roughly 40 employees minus Shea, who will stay on as an advisor, will join the 930-person Binance staff, Zhao said. Chan said the firm will continue to alter its infamous advertisement structure, but will still host paid marketing for other exchanges. Since the firm will operate separately from Binance, Zhao will have to dish out more money if Binance wants to advertise on CMC, she said. For his part, Shea, the sole shareholder of CMC, walks away from crypto with a big chunk of change in his pocket, fiat or otherwise. Chan said Shea's focus remains on his family during the coronavirus crisis and subsequent quarantine he and his family currently live under. We would love to keep him, but he wants to take a break and, given the size of the deal, it makes total sense, Zhao said. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.